Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in There's a Solution on page 19. We're reading and commenting on just one paragraph, the second paragraph, if we keep in the way we are going. Today's readers are Roz R. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, Pia S., Penny L. C., and Melanie C. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday for Tuesday, April 9th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is 12731. That's 12,731. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, April 10th at 7 a.m. is 12767. That's 12,767. And I think I gave you the wrong number for yesterday's meeting, so I'll get that and correct that at the end of the meeting. Sorry about that. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Roz R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Roz R., recovered in Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, and thank you for your service, Elaine. I'll pass.
Thank you, Roz R. And I will now ask Athena B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Athena B., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. These are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be a servant. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Athena B. Let me give those meeting numbers once again. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting for yesterday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for April 9th is 12761. And the meeting for the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 12761. And thank you for your grace with that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 19. Reading and commenting on one paragraph, the second paragraph, starting with, if we keep on the way we're going. And I will now ask Tia S. to please read and comment on this paragraph.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Thank you for your service. This is Tia S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. If we keep on the way we are going, there is little doubt that much good will result, but the surface of the problem would hardly be scratched. Those of us who live in large cities are overcome by the reflection that close by, hundreds are dropping into oblivion every day. Many could recover if they had the opportunity we have enjoyed. How then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? And I'm so grateful for this meeting today. I have to be honest and say that I'm actually struggling right now. I've had a lot of buildup of negative emotions and thoughts, and I guess I've been exposed to a lot of like spiritually sick people who have no idea of this solution that we have. You know, it's like it's over-exercising, needing to constantly experience things, gossiping, shopping. Yeah, eating and drinking and dieting and we may all have different issues, but it all comes to compulsively trying to find something out there to fill our needs our need to be filled inside of us. Like I constantly went outside of myself to find something to fill me. Because I felt that I was empty. And I'm just like
other addicts, but I'm not able to live like that anymore. It's too painful for me. So when I'm exposed to all of this, I suddenly feel different, I become depressed, I isolate, and then I start thinking about food. And so what is the solution? I have to clean up my inside, all the junk that I pick up in the world. And the way that I do that is that I connect with fellows who want this solution. I have to get out of myself, because I am enjoying recovery and a connection with God. And I have to try to help the ones that want this new way of living. Or I will lose what has been so freely given to me. But it's that constant remembering that I cannot go out there in the world to get what I need. I have to go to inside of me and seek that connection with a higher power. That's the only thing that's going to fill me today. And that's all I had. Thanks, Elaine. Thank you for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Pia S. Who would like to comment on this first, the second paragraph on page 19?
Melanie C.
Laura W.
Melanie C. Laura W.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Plenty of room for more.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Sharon W.
Sharon W. I heard somebody else was Sharon. Who was that?
Anna B.
Anna B. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. I have Melanie C., Laura W., Bruce E., Penny L. C., Shannon W., and Anna B. All righty. So Melanie C., please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. And just kind of smiling, a little bit giggling when I read this, because I'm reflecting about how I went about this idea of these instructions here in this paragraph. If we keep on the way we are going, there is little doubt that much good will result, but the surface of the problem will hardly be scratched. And I came in and I thought, this happened for somebody like me, and it was just not possible. And I was dumbfounded when it did, and as it continues to do so. And so I wanted so much, I was just overzealous about sharing it with anybody that would listen to it. And what I'm seeing with this now, that I probably stepped on a lot of toes during that time, and maybe still do, what this is saying to me now is that there's plenty, Melanie, there's plenty for you to do your spot, your role, your place of one in this group, because this, you know, the surface is going to barely be scratched. There's so many folks out there that are hurting that are addicts of various kinds, and God's going to bring those people to me. As I'm prepared, I'm ready to be able to deliver this. I just need to be there and willing, you know, at the moment that it comes. But the idea that there were so many people around me, like within my own home, was hard for me. But I'll tell you, not one person in all these years that I've been in here, not one family member. And it looks as if there's many of us in my family line and generations back that might be just like me and other things as well, but not one. Not one has voiced an interest or a concern or a willingness to be looking at the 12 steps for recovery for their particular lives. And in the other public environment piece about going out, I tried one time to when I saw somebody in a checkout line, I'm just telling myself, a couple of people, and visiting, and my heart just started pounding as that sign, which I thought was from God to share this good news with that particular person. And so I did. And oh my goodness, at that particular time and that particular circumstances, it turned out to be not the right thing to do. And it had all the ramifications from that. And I drew myself back in and in my tortoise shell. And I vowed never to sponsor again or be in recovery again, whatever. because I don't handle being stepped on myself very much. That's apparently in some ways not my particular calling, but there are people in here that can and will do those things. But there are so many of us that are out there suffering and hurting. We have such a privilege and an honor to be able to be in this particular meeting in this room and have them come here so that they know they're at least partially open to a concept and an idea. And as long as I stay close, that God can refine my rough edges, then perhaps I can be useful. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Okie doke. Laura W., you're up next, followed by Bruce E.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, if we keep going the way that we're going, there's little doubt that much good will result. And I had to stop and ask myself, you know what, Laura, how's it working for you? How is it working for you? It used to do something for me, and when I was in the disease, I really had to stop and think, it's not doing anything for me anymore. It's only doing things to me. You know, I am the problem. Change I must or die I will, and I did not realize that in the disease. You know, this is the addiction is the only disease that tells me I don't have a disease, so I was in denial for many, many years before coming into OA. And I was reading in one of our OA books today, approved literature, it said, you know, the powerful force that brought me to OA is ready to lead me to the promises of this program. And there is no greater proof of my higher power in my life than me being restored to sanity today, one day at a time. I wake up this morning, I'm restored to health, one day at a time. I don't believe in coincidence anymore. You know, my higher power is there, but and this paragraph tells me that hundreds are dropping into oblivion every day, and it's my job to carry the message. And I carry the message by staying recovered, recovered, recovered. Many could recover, it says, if we had the opportunity we have enjoyed. How will we present it that's so freely given to us? This is the only thing in the world that's ever worked for me that didn't cost money. You know, didn't have conditions with it. I mean, the conditions are if I do this, if I don't do it, I won't recover. But, you know, I have a choice today. I have a choice whether I'm going to suit up and show up or I'm going to fall back into the disease. And I choose to suit up and show up every day because my higher power has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. It's full of problems and issues and stressors, but you know what? It's also full of joy, recovery, laughter, and giving to others. And that's what this whole thing is about. You know, the death of the old self and the rebirth of the new self. And I can't do that by my, you know, on my own. It has to be done by taking 12 simple steps one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share today. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura W. Bruce E., you're up next. And
you'll
be followed by Kenny Elkins.
Okay, this is Bruce E., recovering in Southwest Florida. If you don't hear me well, let me know, because I'm standing outside right now. So if you don't hear me, I'll switch over to a different way of talking here. So it says here, if we keep on the way we are going, there's little doubt that much good will result. Well, what's that mean about keeping on the way that I'm going? Well, it says in a previous paragraph, we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. So the elimination of my using the alcoholic foods is just the start of the thing. Then working the steps and being on a food plan, and for me, that's the kind of stuff that works. So if I keep on doing that, there should be some good that will result. But the problem is, the surface of the problem has hardly been scratched. So all over the place here it says hundreds. Doesn't it say that hundreds are dropping into oblivion? Well, now it's probably, you know, years later, it's thousands are dropping into oblivion every day. We know that. So what do I do then? Do I go out and put on a sandwich board and, you know, walk up and down the street yelling about OA, or do I stand on the out on the street corner and wave at every car that goes by hoping somebody will stop and I can tell them about OA? Or like I did one time, I went, there was a woman sitting in her car, looked like she was gulping down a couple of Big Macs or something behind McDonald's, and I walked up and gave her a flyer for a marathon that was coming up. And I'm not so sure if I did the right thing when I did that. So I don't need to do those things, but I need to be available to help people. And how do I help anybody if I'm not staying recovered myself? You know, so it, the whole thing starts with me, doesn't it? So here's my problem, though. Like I heard on the line one time, somebody said, half my mind's full of BS and the other half of my brain believes it. So I'm full of a lot of BS and I got a lot of ego. So I have to consistently work on that ego. And how do I do that? Well, by working at steps and working with a sponsor. I had this eloquent list of my harms in step four all written out for my sponsor. I thought he was just going to praise me. He went through about three of them. Then he said, you're full of a lot of BS. He said, you're not an honest person. And man, here I go back. My ego gets squashed. I'm back into being humble again, or trying to be, and realizing that I've just been on a real ego trip. And I need to get off this ego trip and really start rolling up my sleeves and really start helping a bunch of people. That's the way to really have success. And we help them through trying to sponsor and calling people and encouraging people and that sort of thing. So, yeah, thanks a lot for everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Bruce. All right. Then Penny LC, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Shannon W.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And in this paragraph, I appreciate the fact that it gives us a promise. Many could recover if they had the opportunity we have enjoyed. I just appreciate that we all have had an opportunity. We all continue to have it one day at a time, and it's there for everyone. So what is my part? Well, what I do know today is that if the authors of this book could see how our system works electronically, they would probably be amazed. And to realize that we have this system on a phone where hundreds of people can call in and hear the message. And so what a beautiful way to pass it on for each of us that do service on this meeting and give and share the message and reach out to newcomers and pass along what's been passed to us. There are so many people that walk in our virtual doors, and many stay, but many don't. And so it's reaching out to all of those folks, letting the newcomer and those of you that are on the line with us right now know that you are the most important entity here today, the most important person, because we are here to reach out our hand to you and help you to find the answers that we have found, to find the solution that lies in these pages. And, you know, we do share that common problem, and there is the common solution, and we're here to help you discover it the same way we did. So I really say that, you know, I don't feel that I have to go too far to find those that I can reach out to. And I just need to be vigilant to do my 12-step work and be open to supporting whenever possible. I know that promise is there, and it's part of my purpose in life is to help fulfill that promise in my own way, in my higher power's timing, one person at a time, reaching my hand out to one hand and helping them along this journey that I've been so graciously guided.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you for the timing reminder, and with that I will pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC. Shannon W., you're up next, followed by Anna B.
Hi, it's actually Karen W.
Oh, goodness, Karen, I'm so sorry. Thank you.
No problem. Karen W. from Austin, Texas, compulsive overeater. And where it says the problem could hardly be scratched. For me, I was blessed to meet a woman in a different program, but we excavated a lot of childhood wounds, and it made all the difference in the world for me. The 12 steps helped me with life on life's terms and managing the daily emotions. And then where it says, you know, many could recover. And for me, you know, I tried to push this onto, I have two addict sisters, one who throws up all her food, and she's 50 almost. I tried to push it on her, and the other sister's an addict, tried to push it on her, tried to push it on my son, you know, and, but none of that worked. All of them are still in major addiction. So now I just, what I learned from that is, you know, I let God bring me the people who I'm supposed to help. And I always introduce myself to the meetings I do go to in other programs, and I always give them a number, but then I let it go. I don't try to force my will. And for me, I have to walk this walk and stay in recovery in a very strong way. It has to be priority in my life. And I think that that will be reflected in my dealings with others, and people will naturally be attracted to that, even energetically attracted to that. If I keep leaning into the program, my people close to me will have a shot just by the way I live my life and how I handle my life situations today. And they all know how I used to handle my situations. So that transformation is before them, and you can't, you know, I don't know how you turn a blind eye to that, you know, especially the people that love you. So, for me, you know, not pushing or trying to force my will on others has been a big lesson for me, and just let people, let it kind of flow. The natural order of things in life has become very important to me. And that I think, always think about that sentence, you know, we cease fighting anybody or anything. And that means I have to let a lot of stuff just go, just let it go and let people be where they are. And, you know, in today's society, there is so much help out there. There's so many resources. And I just, in my heart of hearts, like, if you want to get help, it's out there. You'll go get it. And that's my feeling on it. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen W. So before we hear from Anna B., I want to let you know that we are on page 19 in the chapter, There's a Solution. We're commenting on the second paragraph that begins with, if we keep on the way we are going. So after we hear from Anna B., we'll take some more names. Please go ahead, Anna.
Good morning, and I would like to thank my fellows for their shares. They basically said what I was going to say, but a lot more eloquently. The only thing I could say that is kind of funny is our founder, Roseanne, when she started this program, I guess she went up to a neighbor and she said, yeah, you have weight to lose too. She said, you want to start this program with me? And so she kind of offended a few people along the way when she made our program of Overeaters Anonymous. And we all kind of done this. Either tried to push it on somebody or just went back, you know, and hid for a while, afraid to say anything because we didn't want to hurt anybody else's feelings.
But what's so great about these meetings, these phone meetings, it's just so nice to have this wonderful way that so many people could come and just listen and just hear the truth and with that I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna B. All right. Who would like to comment on that second paragraph on page 19 today?
MJ, Lisa J.R., Paula D.
Okay. All right. I think I heard MJ is the first one. I heard Lisa J.R. and Paula D. also. Was that right? Was there an MJ?
Correct. Yes.
Wonderful. And you can share the first initial of your last name when you... Oh, I think it is MJ. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And we have room for more shares than that. Who else would like to comment?
Jordan L.
Shawnee B. Shawnee, was it?
Yes, Shawnee B.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And one more.
Peggy M.
Was it Tracy M?
Peggy.
Oh, Peggy M. Sorry about that. All right. That's great. Perfect lineup. So I have MJ, Lisa JR, Paula D. Cannot read my own writing. Was it Jolene? And Shawnee B. and Peggy M. And I'll try to discern my writing there. Oh, Jordan L. it was. Thank you. Okay. MJ followed by Lisa JR. Please go ahead.
Okay. MJ, this is me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Great. Well, I've been new to the program for a little over 6 months, so I was too afraid to talk most of the time, so all I could get out was MJ. And I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Arkansas, but M stands for Michelle. I am Michelle J, and this is I can breathe a little easier now because, you know, after knowing that I can keep going, if I keep going, things will just become easier, the terminology will become more understood, and that's what I've been doing. And just like the first speaker, you know, after 6 months and working the steps with a fantastic, a couple of fantastic step leaders, you know, I'm coming such a long ways, and I'm almost through that first 12 steps. I'm getting there. It's going to take me a while. But, you know, when I hit a bump in the road, actually hit a landslide in the road not too long ago, and, you know, I wanted to do all those things. I all of a sudden wanted to shop, and I wanted to drink wine, and I wanted to eat, and I wanted to do those things. But somehow my higher power grabbed hold, and that irritability, that restlessness, that discontentness, you know, all those terms, they started coming to life in my mind and in my heart. And and God helped me fight it. And I just want to say to anybody out there that is specifically new, I mean, the 12 steps are hard to understand at first. It's a whole new program for me. You know, almost 6 months, it sounds like a long time for some people, but it really is short for me. And I'm loving it. I am growing. I'm changing. And I'm so grateful for Vision for You. I'm grateful for my sponsors. I'm grateful for my fellows. I can't wait to go to Memphis in October during my birthday, and it's a whole new life, a whole new beginning, and just keep working it, because if you keep going, and you don't give up, and you don't give in, good things are going to happen, and with that, I pass.
So true. Thank you so much. Okay, Lisa JR, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Paula D.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, everybody. Lisa JR here from Baltimore, Maryland, gratefully recovered by God's grace today. Loves the pages that we're reading right now. And gosh, forgive me, but I'm out in the middle of the woods and there's a biplane circling. So I'm sorry if there's noise in the background. Somebody in AA once told me, they said, you know, you can put, some people need the message on the end of a 2x4 and some people need the message on the end of a feather. And I always laughed when I heard that, because
You know, I always get caught up in everybody else's business and everybody else's style of doing things. And, you know, particularly with my family, carrying the message, you know, my faith walk has a saying, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. And boy, they were familiar with my character defects. So there was no taking the message to anyone in my family, no matter how I presented it. And I know people in this program that without compunction will approach somebody in a grocery store and talk to them. And I'm not one of those people. I prefer to develop a relationship, you know, and a kind, you know, chatty relationship with somebody before I even think about it, because they might not want it. I have to feel them out, but, you know, maybe I will feel led one day. The most important thing that I know that I have to do is to consult my higher power, who I choose to call God, about every person I share with. Technology's made it real easy because, you know, we feel safe on these phone lines. We, you know, even safer sometimes than in a face-to-face meeting. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me how other people do it. I mean, there's no wrong way. There's no right way. It matters to my recovery. Like Dr. Bob said, you know, it's a pleasure, but I'm taking insurance out against a future slip. So thank you so much for your service, Elaine. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lisa J.R. And Paula D., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jordan L.
And thank you. First, thank you for your service. This is Paula D., currently in Florida, recovered by and with the grace of God. You know, I'm going to just go to the title of this chapter. There is a solution. Of solution meaning a means of solving a problem. Solving a problem. But in the middle of solving, it's spelled S-O-L-I-V-I-N-G, living. That's where it's at. And it says here, if we can keep on the way we are going, there's little doubt that much good will result. And I think this is when we walk this path. No, I'm not there to talk it. I'm there to listen. That's what I'm here for. I thought it was, oh, I'll tell them. No, you won't. You listen. It's within each of us. But sometimes we need guidance and directions. Ah, okay. I'm all right with that. But the surface of the problem would hardly be scratched. It must be scratched. We must be aware. We must know that we have a problem before we'll even look at solving it. But the title, there is a solution. And then it goes on. And I love sometimes I just can go word for word. Many could recover if they had, this is it, the opportunity we have enjoyed. I didn't think of it as an opportunity to be enjoyed until I started living it. I'm still like, can we do this for another? Can we walk alongside? Can we listen to? Both grow together. Both grow together. How then shall we present that which has been so freely, that's the word, freely given to us. Not with the whip. Not with the you must. Freely given us. And then I make my choice. You know, I love the word dilemma. When I spoke to my granddaughter, she had learned the word dilemma. She was in the third grade. Well, I didn't even know how to spell it myself. There's two M's in dilemma. There's always a choice to be made, and that's what a dilemma is. But once you make the choice, no more dilemma. So here, I can live free. That's what we show people, how we live free. And very easy in meetings, but much more difficult in the home front. Possible? Oh, yes. May I just end with, Carl Jung said something. We all love Carl Jung. Invoked, by the way, this is on his stone. Invoked or not, God is present. How about I can live that for others' lives and for my own, whether they call upon him or whether they don't, he's there. So thank you for allowing me this time to share. With that, I do pass.
Thank you very much, Paula D. Love that quote.
Jordan L., you're up next, followed by Shawnee B.
Good morning. This is Jordan L., a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. super grateful to be here and alive and all that good stuff this morning. So I was just sitting here listening to everyone shares and thinking about that word oblivion. And I like that what was on Carl Jung's tombstone there. That's pretty cool, actually, because it's kind of what I was thinking about as far as oblivion goes. Like, I mean, I spent the first like 20 years of my life in sort of drug-induced, alcohol-induced oblivion. And then I got sober, and I just sort of switched over to the food. And I had always had an allergy to food, no doubt, but that's sort of when I hit that line where I crossed that line where I couldn't, I no longer had a choice anymore. You know, like there was definitely a time when I had a choice with the food. And I crossed the line somewhere in there where I no longer had a choice, where it was like the allergy takes over and I have to continue to eat. And I guess the whole thing is like I look back at the last 10 years when I was sober but eating and very much in the food, and I think about that word oblivion and like what that looked like. You know what I mean? Like, there was some good stuff in there. Don't get me wrong. Like, no doubt there was some good stuff in there. But I was just walking around completely and totally, like, numb to it, you know? Completely and totally. I couldn't smile at people, like perfect strangers passing them on the street. I couldn't say nice things to people in my life because it would like literally make me cringe. Like I was completely and totally oblivious, completely and totally numb in the food, turned off to life. Like I just had nothing, man. I had absolutely nothing. And it's like we come in here and we get abstinent and we work the steps and miracles happen. And we talk, we say a lot. You hear a lot. Like,
gentle reminder.
I'll go ahead and wrap up. My entire life has changed. And it's so funny because I know what that means today. And there's absolutely nothing to do with life changing. Because all the circumstances of my life were exactly the same. I had the same job. I had the same boyfriend. I had the same house. I got a new car. But everything is the same in my life, but my entire life has changed. That's just what was on my mind. Thank you. I'll wrap up.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Okay, Shawnee B., you're up next, followed by Peggy M.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Shawnee B. Thank you for allowing me to share, and thank you for having me on this meeting. So, I feel like this paragraph and getting on this meeting, choosing to get on meeting today, is just really, what's the word? It's so like meant to be. I've been like pretty rigorous about my recovery for a while now. And in the past kind of month and a half, I've started to really lag off on my outreach and working with my sponsees, and not so much in action, but in my intention. So, you know, before I get on the phone with the sponsee, I'll kind of be like, oh, I don't want to do this. And today's really helped to refocus me on the importance and the joy and having the clarity to ask my higher power to help me to find joy and purpose in this work. And, you know, picking up the phone and doing outreach, I've just kind of been just dreading it. I know it's my ego that's really pulling at me from every direction. And this has just been such a realigning meeting, a realigning me and remembering. It's been quite some time since I've really remembered the pain that I went through and the people that picked up the phone to speak to me and to pull me out of the depths of such, you know, helplessness and such, I mean, I say hopeless because I truly was hopeless in that, you know, state of being. And I'm grateful to my higher power because, you know, I do work with sponsees, and I think that the intention of really getting on the phone and being excited and having true pride to do this work is so important for my recovery, for my sponsee's recovery, and for all of our recoveries in this fellowship. And I, of course, do know that, you know, even if we don't feel, you know, with the intention, we do the work. And that's where I've been. And I'm just really sending so much courage and hope to all those out there that don't want to pick up the phone and don't want to do or don't have the intention to do the work, to just continue, because I feel rejuvenated through this meeting to understand the incredible responsibility and the incredible opportunity that I have to carry the message. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Shawnee B. Peggy M., you're going to be our last share for today. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Peggy M. from Illinois, recovered today. I too, like the question asked in the last line of that paragraph, how then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? And, you know, I can ask this question in my morning meditation and prayer time and see where God will lead me with this. Today, I kind of am recovered, so I'm living life, living the promises, living in page 86 and 87. And I do intuitively look for times when I'm out in mainstream, whether I'm at the Y, swimming, and I run into a lady who we begin to talk, and somehow it comes up that I, through the grace of God, I've shed 117 pounds. And the things I could do before were very limited, but today I have free access to physically move and go about my life and be an example. But I have a great forgetter, so I have to wake up every morning and begin again. I have to tune into my vision meetings, which I so enjoy. I identify to everything I've heard today. It's been such good stuff. And I just wanted to walk through my fears, because I do. At every new beginning, I have fears too. And I have to realize I'm going to fail at some. Maybe it will have been the wrong time when I share with someone, and maybe they weren't ready for it. But I have to continue on, kind of intuitively go by where God leads me, and be willing to share my story when asked. And I have done that. I have. I just recently spoke at a retreat and shared my story. So I have to be willing to do that, to be of service. And even to share on a line like this, I had to walk through my fear and say, it's okay. I can do this too and be of service just by being present. I'm told I'm being of service. So I'm just going to come back again and stay recovered, recovered, recovered. And thank you for helping me. And have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye. And thank you so much, Peggy M., and everybody who has shared today. What a great meeting. We will now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, Elaine, this is Penny L.C., and this is the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.